Thank you and good afternoon. Someone has said some people can talk Christianity by the yard, but they can't or won't walk it by the inch. We appreciate this opportunity of Bible study. There isn't any book we could spend time with that would be more profitable than to look into the Word of God. So we're glad that you're listening to Bible Meditations. We return now to Paul's instruction to the church at Corinth, and in particular we're looking at chapter 1 when he dealt with the cross of Christ. Do you remember he pointed out to them, first of all, that there were some saying that there were divisions among those who were members of the church? Paul suggested that there ought not to be any division among them. They all need to be joined together in the same mind and of the same judgment. There ought not to be anything divide them. They ought to be united. And of course, their loyalty is a loyalty to Christ. Some were saying when they were baptized, "I am of Paul," or "I am of Apollos," "I have Cephas," or "I have Christ." Paul dealt with that by saying, if Paul were baptized, or you were baptized in his name, and if he were crucified for you, you might count that valid. But Paul wasn't crucified for you. You weren't baptized in his name. Therefore, you should say, I am of the person who meets those requirements. That is, I am of Christ. It's Christ who was crucified for them and in whose name they had been baptized. Well, then Paul goes ahead to point out that the thing they were doing, dividing in this manner, had made the cross of Christ of less effect, of none effect, as people were listening to the cross of Christ. The cross is symbolic and is used throughout the Bible to talk about and to remind us of the sacrifice that was made for the sins of mankind. Take the cross of Christ out of Christianity, you have nothing left. The fact is that Jesus came into the world to save men, and the plan of God involved the cross of Christ. So Paul says, we're hoping that the preaching of the cross of Christ will expand your knowledge of God's will and will help you in serving God in a faithful way. Let's look again at what he says in verse 18. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. Look at two reactions to the same event. As two people stand afar watching the cross of Christ, one person is moved very strongly by the cross of Christ. The other person who observes what happens is not at all moved and turns away from the cross of Christ. One says, this is foolishness. The other says, this is the power of God unto salvation. Were they different events? No, indeed. They were the same event, but people looked at them in two different ways. Now, Paul says, we want to be careful that people look at the cross of Christ in the right way. We want to be sure that they see in the cross of Christ the power of God unto salvation. We had a group of people at that time, and we still have them today, some who were delighted with worldly wisdom, who thought that the world, through its wisdom, could figure out anything and that anything that was said or done would be made better because of human wisdom. And we sometimes try to pat our backs and say, oh, you're just so smart, and mankind is so wise. It just is ridiculous for a person to talk about a man dying on the cross for the sins of mankind. So sometimes people have rejected Christianity because they say, that's foolish. That's too simple. Well, to those who are looking this direction, the cross of Christ may seem as something simple. But to those of us who are the children of God, who believe in the power of God, the cross of Christ is vital. It's the power of God unto salvation. Verse 19, "For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent." Remember this, God is always, in all of his dealings, wiser than mankind. You would seem to think that from the beginning of time, since God created man, man would be aware of the fact that he could not, well, best God in anything. You remember Isaiah's statement when Isaiah said, "As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my thoughts than your thoughts, and my ways than your ways." Just as there's a vast difference in the heavens and the earth, Isaiah simply said, God said there is that kind of difference between the way I think and the way you think. Men get the idea that, oh, we're so smart, we're so wise. I can't help but remember back a few years ago when we were trying to place a man on the moon, and finally a man steps out on the moon. A statement made by a statesman of our country was, "This is the greatest event in the history of mankind." Well, I think it doesn't take a great degree of reasoning to understand that that just isn't the case. Which is greater, to step on the moon or to make the moon? Now, if you're going to talk about the greatest event, I don't think stepping on the moon has anything at all to compare with creating the moon, making all things. So when I go back to the book of Genesis, chapter 1, and I read, "In the beginning God created the heaven and the earth," it just seems very clear that there isn't any man in all of his wisdom who could compare favorably with the great wisdom God has and the great power that he's demonstrated again and again. So Paul just simply says, when a person looks at the cross of Christ, sometimes they look and see the wisdom of God. Sometimes they look and see what they call foolishness. But remember, God is always wiser than man, and that the foolishness of God is wiser than the wisdom of man. Well, we appreciate so very much your being with us today, and remind you, it was Jesus who said, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved." We now return you to our announcer.